Now, right before I'm now in a minute, I'm going to preach to you on the subject of, have you ever done something and then you look back and you just thought to yourself, oh, what have I done? What have I done? I think any of us have been around life very long, experienced that, haven't we? So I'm going to preach on the subject here a little while of what a fool I've been. And we'll get into that. But before we do, I want you to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to say something about this, and then we'll get into the message. But Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Folks, if you've got a pastor and God's given you that pastor, he's given you that pastor according to his heart for the purpose of feeding you with knowledge and understanding. And you've got one like that. Jim Duke's one of the most versatile men I've ever met in my life. I mean, he can wire the house as well as preach the word of God. But the other thing of it is this: I know a lot of preachers. Few. Now, I wouldn't say it's if I didn't believe it. I wouldn't say it if I wasn't convinced of it. Few have the character and integrity of that man right there. I know a few that might have as much character and integrity as him, but I don't know one that has more than him. And his heart is right. And if God's put him here, the best thing for you to do, shut up and listen to him. He'll teach you something. And you older folks in this church, you back him up. You support him. And you'll find out in the long run, it'll be the best thing you've ever done in your life. Best thing, because I'm going to tell you this, because he's a pastor with God's heart and God's mind and your interest in his heart, God will tell him things that you don't know anything about. Listen to it. Look at that verse. When you get to thinking about it, read it. "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now he didn't know I was going to say that. If he knew I was going to say that, he'd have told me not to say that. That's why I didn't tell him I was going to say this, right? Because that's the type of man he is. He'd have said, "No, I don't do that." So I didn't tell him. I just snuck it in. Right? Just snuck it in. And so anyway, you've got a great pastor. For some reason, God has been kind to you people. He's given you a diamond rather than a dud. So, I'm telling you something. Enjoy him. But not only do you get a preacher, you got a piano player and singer and all that stuff. Y'all be blessed. You got a lot of piano players around here. At my church, we got to use canned music because the piano player we had was about 100 years old. She finally died and went to heaven, so she's up in heaven playing the piano, I reckon, and having a good time. And so our only option now is a cappella or use canned music. And I come here, everybody playing the piano, you know. And so you're blessed in that department. So listen, God's blessed you folks. And so just go look in the mirror and smile at yourself and say, "God's blessed me." Because I can take you folks from here to some other churches I know, and you'd hitchhike back to this one. I'm telling you. In a hurry. All right, let's go somewhere else now and get into the Word of God. My wife wanted me to tell you, she always reminds me. I called her this morning. She said, don't you get sidetracked and forget to tell them thanks. Then she said, "How much weight have you gained this week?" I said, "Well,
a whole lot."
A whole lot, yeah. It's bad. It's bad. I told Brother Jim yesterday, I said, look at this. Look at this. I said, I'm down. I only got one hole left in my belt. And he said, yeah, I'm 2 days to go. So anyway, all right, let's talk about this. You know, what a fool I've been. Now, you know, the Bible says, as we go to 2 Samuel 3:33, don't go there right now. Don't do that. I just want to tell you about it. It said, Abner, it said, died as a fool. Isn't that right? Abner died as a fool. For the sake of reference, it's 2 Samuel 3:33. Abner died as a fool. And as we journey through life and make decisions that come back to haunt us, we can hear ourselves and others saying, what a fool I've been. Isn't that right? And so it is in the Word of God. As we journey through God's book, we find many of God's great men making decisions that brought about an awakening conscience and consequence to them. And when the consequence came and reality hit, I can hear them saying, what a fool I've been. There was a fella that was old and dying, and he was an elderly, very elderly fella, and he had always played church all of his life. His son told me, said, just a short time, just like 90 days before he died, God saved him. I mean, really saved him. Now, he had been in church all of his life and played church, and he wouldn't let the preacher even get too close to him because he knew he was lost, but he had a good time playing church. And anyway, it was amazing. He said, I could not believe this. He said, the day my dad was truly saved, blood washed, born again, he said, he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, son, I just want you to know something. God saved me today. And he looked at his son and the mothers, and he told them, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, oh, what a fool I've been to play church for 70 years. And now God saved me. And he said, I want to do something for God, but it's just too late. He said, so the only thing I can do is just praise God. And he said he praised God for the last 83 days that he was alive. Everybody that walked through the door to say hi to him, bye to him, hello to him, he just looked at him and said, give me 2 or 3 minutes real quick. Give me 2 or 3 minutes. And he said, the nurses would stop and say, okay, I got 2 or 3 minutes. He said, now listen, I played church for 70 years. He said, I went to church, had my name on the church roll, I tithed, and he said, I drove them preachers nuts. He said, the preacher want to spend a dime. I said, no. And he said, I just give everybody fits. He said, but I want to tell you something. And he get to crying. And he said, but just the other day, God saved me. Then he looked at him. He said, now, do you go to church? Are you playing church? Are you saved? Boy, he nailed him down. But then he died. Oh, what a fool I've been. Let's talk about Adam and Eve real quick. Let's, in Genesis chapter 3, turn there. We'll just read a little bit, have a word of prayer, and hasten on. Oh, by the way, I noticed these ladies are wrapped up and others just said they was cold. I went into a church one time in Germany, and it was freezing cold in there. I mean, even I got cold in there. And I asked the old German guy, I said, warum ist das so kalt? And he looked at me and said, I said, why is it so cold in here? And he looked back at me and said, he said, listen, it's easier to keep people awake when they're cold than it is when they're warm. If you warm them up, they'll go to sleep. I said, yeah, but if you freeze them to death, you're going to kill them all. So it's a good thing, you see. It's easier for you to stay awake when you're cold than it is when you're warm, isn't it right? So keep them cool, brother. Keep them cool. All right. Genesis chapter 3. Let's begin to journey through this. You see, Genesis chapter 3 tells of the actions of Adam and Eve and the consequences which followed. We can hear them say something. And so I want us to look at this. Just, you know the story. We're going to read a couple of verses. Go to the Lord in prayer. Here come, they were in the garden. They were having a good day in the garden. Adam went someplace else. Here they come back. And lo and behold, here comes Sneaky Snake coming along. And wow, all of a sudden somebody's in trouble. So now Genesis chapter 3, rather than us reading the whole thing, I want you to do this. Just go to verse 16, if you would, please. Verse 16. And it said this, as we, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Now watch what's happened here. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know something? There was a consequence that took place when Eve took of the fruit of the tree and ate of it after God said no. And then here come Adam, and the Bible says that Eve was deceived and not Adam. And Adam come along and said, well, if she's in this mess, I'll just join her. He partakes of that thing also. We'll look at that in just a minute. But when I look at this woman and I realize when I get to this point right here, something really happened. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless this time, and then we'll journey through this real quick, all right? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. And now, dear God, in Jesus' name, I pray that, Lord, that you would just awaken every lost soul in this building this morning. Lord, for those that are, Lord, I don't care if they got the name on the church roll, that means nothing in that sense. God, there are a lot of lost people in the church. And Lord, we just pray that you would deal with the lost that's here, whether they're visitors or lost church members or children that's here, dear Lord, that need you. We would ask, dear God, that you would awaken them today. And Lord, that you'd alarm all of us as we journey through this, that God, there's a consequence to our actions. And now in Jesus' name, we commit ourselves unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something here. Let's look at this real quick. Verse 16, and we'll go on, look at Adam real quick, and hit Moses and David and Samson and a few others and jump into the New Testament. But when I look in verse 16, here Eve is taken to this, and now God's passing out the consequence of it. Now listen to me, folks. Let's all understand something. And you young people sitting here, listen to me. All you teenagers in this place, listen. If the devil can blind you to the consequence of your action, he can get you to do anything.
Amen.
And the one thing that the devil wants to do is blind all of us to the consequence of our action. I mean, when the devil confronted Eve about this, he didn't say, well, now listen, God said this, and you know, God said this. And he just directed it toward her ego and toward, now, boy, you'd be like gods if you do this. And I mean, the devil didn't come up and say, now, listen, if you do that, I mean, you might remember the Marlboro commercial, right? I mean, here's the cowboy, and man, sometimes you'd see the guy he had to bear in the boat, you know, advertising Marlboro. But boy, what about the outcome of that guy? He died with cancer from smoking. And there's a consequence to the action. And folks, time after time in the Word of God, cannot you imagine when this woman was standing before God after they had realized that they were naked and they went and hid themselves and now they were conscious of this. And all of a sudden God says, what hast thou done? You know something? That's a bell ringer, isn't it? I mean, for you and me, when somebody finally, you've committed your sin and somebody says, what have you done? The man that lives across the street from me there in Wingo, his daughter, beautiful young woman, she got promiscuous and run around, got pregnant. And she come to my house knocking on the door, crying and sobbing, and I look at this woman and I said, what in the world's wrong with this girl? So my wife told us, come on in, hon, what's the matter? She's just sobbing and crying and carrying on. And she looked at my wife and she said, what have I done to myself? What have I done? My wife said, What's going on? She said, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. She said, I've got to go over there and face my dad. I've got to go over there and tell my, I got to look my dad in the face and mom in the face and tell him I'm pregnant. And she said, I can hear my mother right now. My mother's going to say, what have you done? What have you done? And the girl looked up at my wife, tears running down her face, and she just said, oh, she said, she went just like this. She said, what a fool I've been. You know something? Many times reality does not hit us until the consequence hits us. Look in verse 17, 18, and 19. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Fellas, watch out for that one. I went to a meeting one time and the old antique preacher got up and preached on that subject. That was his text right there. I thought to myself, I'm leaving. They're going to be a murderer right here by the time he gets out of here. But anyway, that's what he preached on. And it said, now verse 17, and to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Look at there. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Boom, there it is. You know, I can just hear Adam say, boy, as he stood before God and the consequence of his actions fell upon him, I can hear that man say, oh, what a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been. You know something? The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, let me tell you something. None of us are going to get away with it. You know that? Listen, you might be able to fool some of the people some of the time. You're not going to fool all the people all the time, and you'll never fool God.
Amen.
It's not going to happen. You might get eat up with the dum-dums and go out and do something, but I guarantee you, consequence is going to catch up with you. Listen, let's look at verse 23 and 24, and I'm going to move on. It said, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flame with a flaming sword and turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You know something? Cannot you just hear those two say, ooh, what a fool we've been. Got a lady in my church, and this woman, her whole life previously was nothing but sin, drugs, sex, alcohol, jail, the whole shooting match. She was married to a man of the same type. She had a 2-year-old child. They get in the car. They've been on drinking, drugs. They put the baby in the back seat. They take off. They're going down the road about 100 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, he's just over there like this at 100 miles an hour, wrapped that car right around a telephone post. In the process, right before he did, the car flipped one time and threw her out. Killed that. Her husband and that baby just smashed that baby so flat that they just had to take it off the telephone post in pieces. First time she started talking to me about that, she said, you know, she said, if I could just talk to the teenagers to where they would listen to me for a moment, She said, if I could give them the images that's in my mind, she said, maybe it would scare some stupid out of them. She said, there's not a day that goes by that I don't see the consequences of my actions. And she says, sometimes I lay in bed and look at the ceiling, and the only thing I do is cry before God and say, oh, God, what a fool I was. It's the way it is, isn't it?
Amen.
Let's go to Moses. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Let's talk about Moses. Here you had Adam and Eve had a great relationship with God. Here you had Adam and Eve, man, they had everything you could ask for as far as living in the Garden of Eden and so on and so forth. And guess what? They lost it all, didn't they? You see, I've watched over the years, and I'm sure some of you folks here that's old enough have witnessed it also. I've watched preachers and missionaries and Sunday school teachers and people that have been faithful to the house of God for many years. Man, and they had it all going for them. They had an honorable wife or an honorable husband, an honorable family, and they were living honorably. And then all of a sudden, here come the devil along and begin to push drugs or alcohol into the home and immorality into the hearts of the husband or the wife. And next thing you know, somebody's crying out in great despair and they've lost everything that they used to be. The Bible talks about having a little heaven of earth, heaven on earth, you see. Well, it's possible, but you got to do it God's way. Numbers chapter 20, starting verse 7. Numbers chapter 20, starting verse 7. Talking about Moses now. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Now notice he said, speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Verse 9, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels! Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Look at verse 12 now. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and said, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Go to chapter 12. Let me get ahead. Listen to me. You got to understand something. Here's what's happening, right? God had told Moses once before, and he said to them, speak to the rock. Moses spoke to the rock. Second time around, Moses is all upset. He looks there. Those people, now listen, you rebels. And Moses smote the rock. And you know something, folks? That prevented Moses from going into the Holy Land, didn't it? You know, cannot you imagine? I mean, Moses standing on the mount, looking over into the Holy Land. And lo and behold, just for Moses to say, oh, what a fool I have been in doing that. I let these people rob me of my senses just for a moment. And it's robbed me of being able to go into the Holy Land. Wow. There's a moral to that story. You know what that is? God said, do this. If we let our emotions run away with us and people influence us, we'll do something that God did not tell us to do. You see that? The only reason Moses wound up in that mess was because he let people get him all bent out of shape. And I got a philosophy about that. If you stay flexible, you won't get bent out of shape. Now listen to me. But he let those people influence him to the point and anger him to the point to where God said this, and he was going to go up there and express all of his anger and emotion. And when it was all said and done, and then God started talking back to him, I can just hear Moses say, boy, can't you hear him say, oh, what a fool I was. Let's go to King David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now King David, man after God's own heart. Man after God's own heart. Oh, 2 Samuel chapter 11. I think David is one of those men that just utterly amazes me at times. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we'll just read verse 1 and 2 real quick. And see what happens here. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Well, you see, here we are setting the stage for King David and the act of what he was fixing to do. And we look at this, we realize that, boy, he called Bathsheba up there and he committed adultery with Bathsheba and he had her husband killed, you see. And lo and behold, everything now was fixing to go wrong for him. Everything was going right. Even God said, now listen, if you wanted more sheep, all you had to do is ask me and I'd give them to you. Now listen, folks. Let's do this real quick. Go to chapter 12, verse 11. 2 Samuel 12, 11. Let's see what we find. It said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. You know something? I don't know about you. But now, just that one statement right there would cause any of us that have any sense at all to fall on our face before God and plead for mercy. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives. Look what he says. Before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. But not only that, ladies and gentlemen, God wrote that in his blessed book. And the Bible says that all these sayings are written to admonish you and me. I mean, David didn't get away with his sin, but not only did he face the consequences of that, but ladies and gentlemen, he's faced the humiliation of that down through the years as you and I have read the story of the man's life. We've looked at the weakness of it, and we've looked at the man, and there it is right before our eyes. You know something? Listen, Adam and Eve didn't get away with it. Moses didn't get away with it. David didn't get away with it. And no wonder David cried out at one point, God, what hath these sheep done? You know something? When God starts ringing the bell in your home and in your heart and touching the very things that you count valuable, that's why David cried out, Lord, what hath these sheep done? David had a heart for the people. And now because of his sin, the people were having trouble. His home was having trouble. I don't know about you, but I can just hear David say at one point or another, oh, what a fool I've been. Let's move on to Samson. Go to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. I think of Samson, and boy, many times I've read this story and just shook my head. time after time after time. Judges 16, start in verse 16. And we'll go down to verse 20. Watch this now. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily. All right. And boy, she was going to get him one way or the other. Delilah was going to get him. But watch what happened. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed with death. Listen to me. If he had been listening to God in the first place, he wouldn't have been with her.
Amen.
Just like my neighbor's daughter. That man told her time and time and time again, that guy, he just wants something from you. That guy just wants this from you. He wants that from you. And no. Well, after that guy got what he wanted, he disappeared. You know that?
Amen.
Now you listen to me. If this man would have been paying attention and doing what God wanted him to do rather than what he wanted him to do in his ego, he wouldn't have been in this mess.
Right.
You know, people have a hard time listening, don't they? I mean, people have a real hard time listening. People. I'm a people, I know. I'm one of you. I know. I've had people tell me things and I just think, surely not. When it was all said and done, I went back to them and had to apologize. You was right. The whole thing went south. And I'm not talking about to Florida or some nice place either. I mean, it went wrong. Now listen to me. Let's look at this real quick. Just drop on down, if you would, please, to... Now, we're going to read verse 17 and 18. Go on. Let's go on. And he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Boy, she went out. She told the Lord of the Philistines. Drop down to verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Now, this is after his haircut. I was talking to a teenager one time, and a football player, big guy, monster of a kid. Had big old shaggy hair. I mean, his hair was longer than most of you women in this place. And he said to me, his mother went up and told him, son, why don't you get a haircut? He said, Mom, look what happened to Samson when he got a haircut. She said, son, your name's not Samson. It's John. Your last name's Smith. And if you don't get a haircut, Mrs. Smith is going to be a Delilah on you. Get a haircut. So, anyway, when I saw him, boy, he was neat, trim, nice, everything. I said, what happened to you? He said, listen. He said, you've heard the old saying, when mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I said, that's right. He said, when my mama looked at me and said she's fixed to be a Delilah, I knew. If I go get a haircut, I can look nice. If she gives me a haircut, I'm going to look bald.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it went on. Now listen to me. When I look at this, realize, go to verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know the amazing thing about sin many times? It'll rob you of your strength. It'll rob you of your power. It'll rob you of your sanity. It'll rob you of your knowledge. It'll rob you of your understanding. And it'll allow you to step into the arena with the lions thinking you have all of it. When it's all gone. And I can hear him now. Boy, his eyes are gone. He's in the arena of the Philistines, and a little boy comes to him to lead him around. But don't you know, while he's out there grinding at the grits mill for the Philistines, he's saying, oh, what a fool I've been. Then don't you know, when they lead him into the arena and tie him to a couple of the pillars there, he tells that little boy, take me to the pillars wherever they sit. And I can just see him right before he gives that last big shove. Oh, what a fool I've been. And down it all comes. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? Many men and women that I've met in my 62 years of life, that's how they died. Saying, oh, what a fool I've been. That's how their families were destroyed. And when it was when the consequences hit, that's what they said. Oh, what a fool I've been. Having opportunity and never taking it. Quickly, let's move into the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And here we find, let's talk about the house built upon the sand for a second. Start in verse 24, if you would please, real quick. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, and doeth them, and doeth them. You hear that? It's talking about some knowledge that's being spoken to you. And it says, and doeth them, and doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, and doeth them not, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. One of the best testimonies I ever heard in my life was I went down to Texas and I preached in a meeting down there, and this guy come up to me and he said, "Preacher, you got a minute? I want to talk to you." He said, "I want to tell you something, and I want you to tell it everywhere you go, if you would please." I said, "Well, if the Lord puts it on my heart, I'll tell it." And I started to get me a pencil. I said, "All right." He said, "No, once I tell it to you, you won't need to write it down. You'll remember it for the rest of your life." I said, "Whoa. It has that much force to it?" He said, "Yeah, it does." Here's what he told me. He said, "As you know, I got saved. I'm a saved man. My brother's saved. Mother brother's saved. My other brother's saved." He said, "All six of us boys are saved." He said, "Let me tell you how it happened." He said, "As you know, my dad was a scoundrel and a drunk. Our home was just devised. The devil drew the blueprint for our house in hell and mailed it to our address." And he said, "You know how we were raised." I said, "Mm-hmm." He said, "But let me tell you something." He said, "Let me tell you how Daddy died." He said, "When Daddy was dying," he said, "little frail thing, laying in the bed." He said, "All of a sudden, my daddy woke up and he started saying, 'Boys are coming to get me. They're coming to get me.'" And he said, he started getting real panicky. And he said, "I looked at my dad and said, 'Who come to get you?' He said, 'The demons out of hell, boys, they're coming to get me. The devil's coming to get me. They're coming to get me, boys. They're coming to get me.'" And he said, "My daddy fought." He said, "It took all six of us boys to hold my daddy in that bed." He said that they were pulling on him. My daddy was fighting, and he was screaming, "There, boys, my leg's on fire. Boys, my leg's on fire. Oh, what a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been. Oh, boys, my waist is on fire. Boys, oh, what a fool I've been." And they just kept pulling and pulling, and he was fighting. And then finally, he said his dad just... He said, "And there stood six of us that had been raised by that man that just died like that." He said, "I looked over across to my other brother and I said, 'Listen, do you understand what just happened?'" He said, "I looked at the others and he said, 'Do you understand what just happened?'" He said, "Our daddy just died and went to hell. Screaming. Our daddy just died, went to hell, screaming, 'Oh, what a fool I've been.'" Amen. He said, "I want to tell you something. He said, I don't care what the rest of you do. But I do know this. He said, this stuff that my daddy's been denying all these years is real. He said, I've heard preachers talk about heaven, talk about hell, talk about heaven, talk about hell, talk about how real it is. He said, I want you to know something. There's a man that didn't believe it, but he does now. There's a man that died screaming about hell that never talked about hell, didn't know anything about hell. He said, but our daddy just died and went to hell. He said, you don't need to write that down, Brother Fowler. You'll remember that. I didn't have to write it down. I've remembered that. And you know something? You walk out of this congregation lost. I don't care how old you are. You walk out of this congregation lost without Christ. One of these days, if you die like that, you'll be like that old man. You'll be saying, oh, what a fool I've been. You see, let's go on. Go to Luke chapter 12. Let's talk about the rich farmer now real quick. The rich farmer, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Start in verse 16. I just want to tell you all this. My mother was a Blackfoot Indian. She used to roll chicken bones to tell what was going on. And when my mama died, she went to hell. And I guarantee you, when I read the story about the rich man that died and went to hell, I get to thinking about that. And he said, oh, would you send somebody back to tell him? Would you send somebody back to tell him? Would you send somebody back to tell him? I was up in Washington preaching in a meeting. And a fellow asked me, he said, why in the world do you get so excited at times when you're preaching? I said, let me tell you why. I said, because I can hear my mama just like somebody can hear the rich man in hell. That rich man said, oh, God, send somebody back, send somebody back, send somebody back. You know what? I said, if that man can be conscious of that, I'm sure I could hear my mama telling me, I'm the only one in my family God saved. Rest of them died and gone to hell. But you know something? I can hear my mama telling me, if the rich man can say that, my mama's telling me right now, preach it, boy. Preach it. Tell them the truth. Tell them it's real. Amen. Tell them it's no joke. Amen. Tell them that hell's hot and it's terrible down here. Amen. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them.
Amen.
It's no joke.
Right.
Like that boy said as he looked at the rest of his brothers, I'm going to tell you something. Our daddy just died and went to hell. Luke chapter 12, starting verse 16. We look at this and said, and he spake a parable, and this is a parable, unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth a plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, oh, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, now listen to this. God said unto him, thou fool. Thou fool. Hey, like that. How would you like to be called a fool by God?
There you go.
How would you like to be called a fool by God? God looked at that man and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Ooh, look at that. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see, ladies and gentlemen, verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let me ask you a question. Are you rich toward God? You see, the thing of it is, we can do a lot of things, but we need to be rich toward God. I can hear this rich man sitting in hell, can't you? I mean, he already wanted everybody to go back. He already wanted, boy, go back and tell him, go back and tell him that this place is real, so on and so forth, as we look and realize other places of the Word of God. Oh, my soul, ladies and gentlemen, can't you hear him say, oh, what a fool I've been. Quickly, go to Proverbs 12, 15. Proverbs 12, 15. Here's the problem we face, right here. Here's the problem we face. Proverbs 12, 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You see, there's a blinding effect to foolishness. Isn't that right? I mean, you parents that have teenagers, or some of you parents that's sitting here that at one time was a teenager that was very rebellious, boy, you thought you had it all under control, didn't you? You thought you knew it. You thought you had it. And your parents are trying to tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go that way. Don't talk like that. Don't drink that. Don't take that. Don't shoot up with that. Keep your clothes on, so on and so forth. And boy, you thought you had it all in order, you see. But the Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And you know something? You might think you're on the right path. And you might want to be there because you're closing your mind to everything else. Listen. You walk that path and you'll find out. You'll cry out one day, oh, what a fool I've been. You know something? Can you imagine Esau? He sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. And then later down the line, can't you imagine this, that well, once he realized really what he had done, he come back and, boy, Bible says of Esau, he sought to this place with bitter tears and found none. Isn't that right?
That's right. Amen.
You know what? You keep on the path you're walking on. You people sitting here is lost. You keep walking that path and one of these days you'll cry like Esau. You know that? You people sitting in there, you might have your name on the church roll, but your name written in heaven? Yeah, listen, you might say I'm a Christian, but you're about as dry as cracker juice. There ain't nothing in you. You're about to dry it up. You know, let me tell you something, folks. You stay on that path, and you know what? You'll be crying real tears like Mr. Esau did. When the word of God was preached to Felix, it said Felix trembled. When it got to Agrippa, Mr. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, one thing about it, God said, whatsoever we sow, we reap. And listen, God's going to, you let me tell you something. You, like one old fellow said, you sow half a harvest, but God's going to make you sure you get a full one back. There's no such thing as a starving harvest with God. You know that? It's not there. Now listen to me. All right, first of all, let me ask this question. If you're sitting here today, are you saved? Are you saved? That's good. But if you're not saved, listen to me. God's not a respecter of person. I've buried people from 1 year old to 100 years old. Don't think just because you're young, you got life in front of you. God might have a different opinion of that. Listen to me. Are you saved today? Get saved. God deal with you. Surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sitting here and you're an adult and you're walking on the wrong road and you know you are. You got a little private pet sin that's hanging on you. Listen. It's going to turn into a monster eventually. You know what? You're not going to get away with it. And you will say one day, oh, what a fool I've been. Now listen to me in closing. In the past 6 years, 38 preachers that I've known, every time I get a phone call, I mark it down, 38 preachers I've known, they're out of the ministry because of moral issues. And those preachers didn't plan that. But a little porno here, a little touch there, a little willingness here, one thing led to another. And the last one, I couldn't believe this last guy. I mean, if there was anybody that if you'd have told me he done, no. I called that guy. I said, is this true? And he said, yes, it is. And he began crying profusely. And he said this. He said, oh, what a fool I've been. You know something? You're sitting in danger. If you're sitting here and lost, you're just one heartbeat from hell. If you're sitting here and you might be saved, but yet you got some sin in your life that you got to deal with, I want you to know something. You better deal with it. If we confess and forsake our sins, the Lord will forgive us of that, but you better deal with it or you'll be saved. Oh, what a fool I've been. Now may God deal with you and you deal with God as we give this invitation. First of all, if you're lost, you come up here and talk to this preacher. You come up here and talk to your pastor. If you're sitting here and saved and God's working on you, then why don't you come down here? If God's dealing with you, why don't you do some business with God? Maybe it's time. But one thing about it is between you and God. Let's all stand. As the pastor comes, the song leader comes,